Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, and I hope y'all had a great week. And we got a lot of things to cover tonight. It's to learn to stand in the presence of God, okay? And learn to stand on God's word. There's healing, deliverance, restoration, resurrection, knowledge, wisdom. Everything is from God. So let's go to the presence of God. Pastor, you want to pray it in, or you want me to pray it in?
You go ahead and pray it in.
All right. Thank you, Father God. Oh, great Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify. We're going to exalt your name. We're not going to exalt anything. We're going to bless your holy name, Father God, because everything is through you. We thank God for Jesus. And Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in your eyesight, Father God. Let every hearer be receptive to your word tonight, Father God, and let it not be me, let it be you, Father God. I ask for a triple portion anointing, and Father God, I bind anything that's coming, try to come up as we get into the word of God, and we cast it down because the Holy Ghost holds everything down. Satan has no authority over this radio ministry, over the Rainbow ministry, and we take all authority, and we declare and decree a mighty move of God right now, Father God. I cover every hearer right now. With Revelation 12, 11, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of testimony. And Father God, we thank you. And Father God, if anybody going through anything, we ask you to let them cast their burdens upon you, Father God, in 1 Peter 5:7, and come to the grace of throne to receive mercy in the time of need. And Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor, how you been doing? I got to ask how you been doing, my brother.
I've been doing wonderful. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, so how you been there, Pastor
Wanda? I'm blessed and highly favored. We have a lot to cover, but God's been giving. I've been sitting in the present all day, and he's moving. And we're looking for a shift in of God, okay? And we're going to find out God is great. It's so much I can't cover in one segment. We might have a 3 or 4 part in this, what God has given me, and I'll be standing on this for a minute because God is wanting us to understand and have a relationship. Let's go to 1 Kings 19:11, okay? And that's what I'm going to read something. I want you to get there. And so, take a deep breath and say, Jesus. Okay? That's all you got to say, I need you. And see, where can we go from the presence of God? We can't go anywhere. And I'm going to show you all through the word of God from old to new that God, he is a real and he's a living God. He's not dead. Psalm 18:46, he lives, okay? We serve a God that's bigger than anything, bigger than corona, bigger than cancer, diabetes, AIDS, bigger than war, bigger than Satan, bigger than anything. We serve a big God, and he's the creator and the life giver. And he don't want you to have fear. Only fear we ought to have is a reverence and an honor for God. That's it. Because, see, God have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we got to learn to be able to sit, be still, and know that he is God, Psalm 46:10. So I'm just encouraging you right now through the word of God, what he's laying on me. I'm just going to flow from the Holy Spirit. As many people are looking at situation, and God is saying, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me, no distraction. There's a lot of things trying to get God's people distracted, looking at with the corona. Yes, it's a lot of things that's going on. It's not nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3, God has said it. But I want you to understand, ladies, even if men are listening, you have nothing to fear. God is with you. Amen? So we're going to look at, okay, you got to speak. I got to speak bold in line because I have no problem by speaking because I know who he is, and he is not a God that lies. He's not a man that lies. And we got to take back our authority that God has given us, even through Genesis when he gave it to Adam and Eve. We are allowing too many things to get us offset and off course. We are not from this world. The body of Christ is time to stand. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up. Women of God, wake up. Men of God, wake up. We got too much authority that's in us, and we have the greater one who lives in the well, but we got to learn to sit and to be able to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. This is trying to come up in my life. You're going to have to go to the master, not the pastors, not your friend, not this person. Not. He wants you to sit in his presence. Amen? So it's the learning to stand. Now, are you going to stand on the word of God, or are you going to stand on what's going on in the world or what somebody told you? I believe in every report of the Lord. I believe every promise. I believe every word of God. I believe in everything that God said. I believe in everything that Jesus said and what he have done. Ain't nobody can persuade me. I don't care what it looks like. He is in control. He's allowing you to be tested by God, but you can be tempted by the enemy. Do not look at what's going on. Look at God. Okay? Look to Jesus. You may have the most powerful name to call upon. Many people calling everybody else, but they're not calling on the name of Jesus. They got many gods out there. But we have a name that's so powerful in Jesus' name. We have a comforter. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, let's look at 1 Kings. When Elijah reached to the Lord's point, God told him two things. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. He helped Elijah to stop thinking about himself and his problem and started thinking about God. When God has your ear, he can speak to, into it. When he has your heart, he can minister to it. That is why the scriptures read in so many important. If life is draining you down and you're ready to stand back up, climb into God's word. Claim the promises as you ask for help and talk plainly to him. Anoint Elijah to success you and prosper you. That's in verse 16. Take the focus off yourself and look to someone to minister to. You're not the only one in the world who has problems. There are people worse off than you. They need someone like you to come aside them and wait a minute, and if nothing else, let them know you really relate to how they feel. They need someone to minister to them, to encourage them. If you want to see the fog of depression lifted, quit looking in the mirror and start looking into the window. The famous psychiatrist Carl Manner was asked, what would you ask a person who experienced depression and unhappiness? He replied, look, lock the door behind you. Go across the street. Find somebody who needs help and do something. It's so simple, yet keeping missing it. The truth is, by helping others, you'll help yourself. Now, I want to go to Isaiah 58:6-8. Okay? When we take our eyes off our problems and start helping others, feeding the homeless, speaking to your neighbor, calling your parents, visiting nursing homes, going to, we can't go all do a lot of things today. We can start praying for others, praying for a mighty move of God. Now, God has us down here. It's like not like a drive-by shooting. With bags already lifted up, I don't wear gloves. I have the mask on, and sometimes I have to take that mask down, but I say, Lord, help me, and pass it out through the window, pass clothes. If somebody else that's in worse shape, I was looking at and listening to a person. When I said in the presence of God, he had the Holy Spirit say, go. That's all he said. See, sometimes we just got to be obedient and just go. It might not make sense, but when you go out and God's going to show you somebody that's in need. The gentleman didn't have no feet. And a person was telling me about their feet was hurting, my leg, Then God showed me a child that had amputation. But what I looked at, I didn't look at seeing the love of Christ in them, but they still needed help with certain things. They needed something to drink. God had us get this case of water, pass clothes out. The young man didn't have nothing. But when we go to Isaiah 58, I'm going to show you the fast. When you understand that God has something greater, we can go through things, but in 1 Peter 5:7, from old to new, you can cast your burdens upon the Lord because he cares. He's not saying not try. Yeah, you can get on your knees. Your best weapon is on your knees praying. The second one, worshiping. Come unto the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. It's a lot of ways. Listen to music. Praising God. Praise confuses the enemy. When you're going through things, you're going to have to learn to combat it with the word of God. I don't care. I have to get away from everybody. I have to do things that I said, Lord, I need your help. And I got to go get away from every distraction. The phone, that's another big distraction. The TV, the computer, a lot of things have got us distracted without sitting in the presence of God. And then you're going to miss out. I told a person, God had us speaking in this park, Cleophas Park. And so many people pass by God's people like they're a piece of trash. And God had me to speak on this Isaiah 58:6-8. Those are your neighbors, okay? The elders, they don't have respect for the elders. They don't have respect for their neighbor. But when you sit in the presence of God, God's going to show you something that don't mean make sense. You can be healed, delivered. You can be restored, restoration. You can have everything. You can have. He can give you more anointing. He can feed you. He can minister to you. He can do anything when you learn to sit and listen. Not even saying that. Not even got to say that. I said, Lord, I don't even want to say that. I just got to just thank you. I just had to bow. That's it. So as I bowed, he let me know somebody else is hurting. Go pray for somebody in the hospital. It didn't make sense to me. I had every symptom, but he said, go. That's all God is willing for you to go and to do what he has called you to do, just like Elijah. So let's go to Isaiah 58:6-8. This is another form of fasting, but this is the fast that God is calling. Many people think it's about sustaining from water. Now, when you sustain from water, I'm going to jump on that, denying the food, flesh, that's getting serious with God. But when you know you got some issues, anger issues, you might have envy, jealous, you might have rage, you might have a lust problem, you might have a drug problem. It's many issues, and you got to get serious with God and say, Lord, I'm tired of living this way. But when you sit in the presence, God can move that right then, that fast. But through the word of God, prayer, meditating, seeking God's face, studying the word of God, everything you need is in basic instruction before leaving this earth. Everything, every prescription you need is in the word of God. Okay? So let's go there. In Isaiah 58:6-8. Hold on. All right, I'm going to go to King James. Okay. I'm not going too fast as a pastor.
No, you're doing right.
Father God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. We got to take back our authority. We got to stop being so timid. And all those go through things. And if you went through suffering, pain, affliction, rejection, that is all for God's glory. But you got to be an overcomer through the word of God. That's only how you have a testimony. Because what God then brought you through. It's a test and then it's a moaning. Testimony. Okay, that's Revelation 12:11. I hope everybody got a notebook pad and write out what God has given me. So see, I know who can do what he said he can do. Because God is greater than any problem. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah 58:6-8. I learned this when I was with my spiritual daddy, Pastor Seven, and Pastor Edward. Okay, Isaiah 58. You there?
Yeah.
Let's look at the fast. All right. 6-8. Okay. No, let's go to 5. You are not fast as you do unto this day, to make your voice heard on high. It is the fast that I have chosen, a day of man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Okay. Now listen to what it says. Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? I is the Almighty God is speaking. He said, he chose. Nobody have chosen this. This is what God have chosen. This is the fast, okay? And you can study this and keep on looking at it. And God, he kept showing me. He said, this is what I'm talking about. This is another fast. When you understand the presence of God, God will have you doing things that don't make sense. But it does make sense because God said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is higher, he's saying, mine is so high, I want you to go higher. Higher in him. Everything is higher in God, okay? See, this is a fast. You ready? This is a fast. He said, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the press go free, and that you break every yoke. It is not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor and the cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing, that go from behind, doing what God has called, loosen the bonds, heavy burden, oppressed, breaking yoke, feeding the hungry, feeding the poor, bringing certain people in your house, the poor, the cast out, okay? When you see the naked, do you cover them, cover him, and not hide yourself in your own flesh? Verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning, the healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be what? Your real God. God said, I got this. Okay? He ain't said, I might. He has it. He said, your healing shall bring forth speedily as you have did this fast that God have called. Those are your neighbors, your friends. It does not matter. When you see somebody out there in the street, the poor, Somebody might say, I need a dollar, a quarter. Or somebody you see might not have no shoes. God didn't have us do this. No shoes. I said, okay, God, this is woke. But you're doing what God have called. This is the fast. He said, the glory of the Lord shall be your real God. Then you shall call, and the Lord shall what answer? You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Okay? So, you know, when I look at that, so it's all about learning through the word of God. Every day we must have a teachable spirit. Because I said, wait a minute, so I had to go and do research. You had to start researching. See, if you search for him, you're going to find him. A gentleman just was saying something. I won't even bring it up because it's my neighbor. And God have given me a assignment. That is my neighbor. So I love my neighbors myself. And he said, you sure God real? I said, without a shadow of a doubt. I can show you in the word of God. I rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy. So God had me ready and prepared. God wants us not to get ready. He wants us to be prepared in season and out season. Amen? But only how you got to learn, let's go to Psalm 46:10. So I'm going to back everything up with God and showed me. Okay? And it's all in the word of God, whatever you need. Okay? We got a lot to cover tonight, a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, in Psalm 46:10, it said, don't jump, don't run, don't hide. It said, be still and know that I am God. Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Be still and know that I'm God. Hold on. Jeffrey, give a piece of cake right quick. Okay, be still. We got to learn to discipline ourselves through the word of God. You got to discipline yourself. If you can't be still, like, I don't care if you have anxiety. I don't care if you, whatever you're going through. God has the prescription. He is the best physician. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's everything we need. He's that I am. Everything you need is that I am. So we need to learn to get back and sit in the presence. Let's get back and sit with the Lord through the word of God. Okay? Now, let's go to Joshua 1:8. All right. And then we'll take a break. Hey.
Okay.
All right. Let's go. Hold on, I got to get my other Bible. He didn't let me look up a little thing. I'm just going for whatever he's telling me. Let's go to Joshua. You know, a lot of people say, I don't like Bible study. I don't want to do this. I do. It ain't what you do. So I had to go back and look at what the people done. So God placed people in your life to empower you. The pastors, the ministers. It's empower you through the word of God to learn, to study the word. Newcomers, you got to sit under leaders that to break bread, line upon line, precept upon precept. That means studying, learning, and seeing what God has said in his word, okay? Always have a Bible. Get off the phone. Turn your Bible. It's more intimate. And let the word jump off the page. When you sit there and read that Bible or sit on your porch, Lord, I just want to sit with you. I want to sit in your presence because I want to stay in your presence. Okay. Okay. Even worship, you can't. Sometimes worship, you just want to cry. Some want to cry. Lift the hands. Everybody has a different worship because many have been through things. If God didn't do it before, won't he do it again? Won't God do anything? So let's look at Joshua. All right, Father God. Give me time, y'all. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to be in chapter 1, okay? All right. See, now listen to this. So when Moses is going to die, okay? After the death of Moses, we're going to go to verse 1, and we'll work our way up down. So I want you to see it. It's going to be Joshua 1:8. We're going all the way down. Let's go through the whole Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go. The same is now before Isaiah, She's telling him, arise and go. Over to Jordan. And all the people to the land which I have given them, the children of Israel, every place that I, women, hold on. Every place that the sole of your feet would tread upon, I will give you. As I said to Moses from the wilderness, and from the Lebanon, and from the great river of Ephraim, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward going down in the sun, shall be your territory. Now listen at that promise. Did you hear God, what God said? Nobody be able to stand there. I'm going to give you. He giving him a sign there. He's saying, I want you to do this. No man will be able to stand up against you. Everywhere your feet trend, he's given him that much authority. Everywhere you walk, that's yours. That's what God was telling Joshua. That's the same today. We have to learn to walk, to take back the land, what God has said. It's already of the children of God, okay? Everything belongs to God. 10,000 cows on the hill belong to God. The breath we breathe belongs to God. Now, if he told Joshua that, now, that's the same hitting now. Let's go to fire. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life as I with Moses. So he's giving him a promise, guarantee, I'm with you. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong. That's what God is calling his women today, men and women. Be strong in the Lord. Not be strong in yourself. Not be strong, I got these gifts. I got these talents. I know so-and-so. Be strong in who? The Lord. He is not saying do this on your own. We can't do anything on our own. Now, Joshua had to be in the presence of God. Do you see that? He's not somewhere else. God is talking to him, okay? Be strong and be of good courage for you, for to this people, you shall divide the inheritance, okay? He's giving a promise again. You the one, he said, I'm going to allow you to bless this person, bless that one. You, he's giving him that much authority. And when God bless you with something, sometimes God will tell you to bless somebody else. It's not all the time. It's mine. No. God, sometimes he'll give you something to see if then trust in you. If you're faithful over small things, he'll make you faithful over great things. That's the same thing he's telling Joshua, same as he told Moses, okay? He said, he gave him my inheritance of the land which I swore to the father to give to them. Only be strong and be courageous, that you may be observant according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, command. Do not turn from them the right hand or to left. See, he said, don't take your focus off. Keep straight forward, okay? Straight forward, because when you start looking around, looking what somebody else got, looking what this person got, looking what's going on there over here in this area, God is saying, stay focused. I have it. Stay focused. You ain't nothing over there to the right or the left. I'm right here. I'm trying to get you to go forward, okay? All the stuff what didn't happen is behind you. Keep walking forward. That's what he's telling Joshua. That's what he's telling y'all today, ladies. Stay focused. Go forward. Don't have time to say, I want what so-and-so got. When people take their eyes off of God, then everything's distraction comes. Amen? So he's
Amen.
Telling Joshua the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He said, don't turn to the right or the left, that they may be prosperous wherever you go. He said, same thing today, ladies. Stop looking at what somebody else has. You can have anything God says. When you have God, you got everything, because in through Jesus' name. God has everything for you. Nobody can have your blessing. Don't want what somebody else have. Desire the things that what God have. That's how he told Joshua. And wherever you go, you will prosper. He didn't say, take so-and-so with you. He said, no, wherever you go, you will prosper. Okay? Some people say, I don't want to move. I don't like change. God saying, I'm going to change this scenery. Sometimes God will change. He will upset you. Okay? Amen? Wait a minute. Thank you, Daddy. All right. He didn't say don't look to the left or right. That's a command. Don't look over there. Don't look right here. Go forward. Now, verse 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth. They had Bible study. The book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. So they had Bible study. You have to meditate on the word. So how can you meditate on God if you do being movable and doing this and doing that? You can't. You got to sit down and meditate on it, chew on that word of God. Sit there and say, Lord, if you don't understand, Father God, teach me. Show me what this means. you can ask God anything. I talk to him just like I'm talking to you all ladies. I'm not, oh, Father God, I don't make it like that. Lord, I need you. I don't understand this. Could you give me wisdom in this understanding? I don't understand that word, so he'll have me to research. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, meditate in it day and night. It didn't say sometime. God is not a five-minute God. All right, I got some people telling me, I read a word about 5 minutes, 2 minutes, thank you, Lord, and I'm gone. Listen, the favor of the Lord lasts a lifetime. You want the favor of God. You want the blessing of God. You want that relationship with God. You want to sit in the presence. So when you sit in the presence, you know what? In Psalm 16, in the presence of the Lord is a fullness of joy. You're going to have everything. When you get out of the presence of God, you can be refreshed, healed, delivered. I'm going to say it again. Resurrection. You don't understand that presence. That presence of God is so awesome. He had me giddy, laughing. I was laughing. He reminded me of something, and he made me have a childlike laughter. And I had forgot how to laugh. But today, in that presence, he gave me my joy. He gave me my peace. He gave me anything I desire. He fills me up with more anointing. He gave me fresh bread, fresh water. Not the spiritual things. He's giving me the spiritual thing. And you want to know the mind of God. You want the mysteries of God. You want to know the things of God. So when you learn to sit in the presence, God will reveal anything to you. Amen? All right.
Amen.
Okay. All right, he said you're prosperous. And then you will have great success. Have I not commanded? See, this is what he said. Have I commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you and wherever you go. A lot of people say, oh, I can't go there. Oh, no, so-and-so down there. This is down there. The corona, this. Y'all got to stop giving things so much power, and God have given you so much power. Everything you speak, you can create your world. You can bring blessing or cursing upon whatever you do. You can create. If you say, I'm always talking about fear, you're going to have fear. If you always say, I'm depressed, you're going to always be depressed. If you always say, I'm sick, you're going to always have what you say because we have power in our mouth. God is with you. Learn to sit in his presence. Amen? So we're going to be back in... Okay. All right, hold on. Thank you, Daddy. We're going to look about the Word of God, okay? Word of God. Amen? We're going to take a break right now. I hope you meditate on it, and I'm going to show you how God is great. And we're going to have a 3-4 page, and, you know, I thank God. And, ladies, what have you gone through? You can call upon the name of the Lord. Faithful and just God, and hear answer. All right, Pastor Ken, let's take a break in Jesus' name.
Okay, I'm going to play some music here while we take a break. Okay, here we go. I will wait for you.
Now I'm going to go to, as you sit quietly, we're going to look at the quiet time with God that's still sitting in the presence. Amen. As you sit quietly in my presence, remember that I am God of abundance. I'll never run out of resources. My capability to bless you is unlimited. You live in a world of supply and demand with necessary things that offer scarce. Even impersonal have enough to see poverty in the world around you. It is impossible for you to comprehend the lavish of my provision of fullness and my glorious riches. Through spending time in my presence, you gain the glimpse of an overflow of vasting. These glimpses are foretasting of what you will experience eternal heaven. Even now you have access to much of me. You have faith to receive. Rejoice in my abundance, living by faith and not by sight. You know, we have to walk by faith and not by sight, knowing we have a God omnipotent and omnipresent. Okay. I'm going to go to some scriptures, and I hope you have paper and pen, of quiet time. The word is vital. The first one I want to tell you, each morning you ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything else to be added. That's Matthew 6:33. Reading some Psalms, Proverbs, and sitting. And as you read, you sit there and meditate. You seek the things of God. Okay, you want to have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, so every day we must renew, okay? That's Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We must renew our minds daily, because we can get caught up in the things of this world. But, sir? We can get caught up. But when you study the word is living, sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting to the marrow of the soul and the bone. That's a double mouth, God and Jesus. Two mouths, okay? When he revealed that to me, it blew my everlasting mind. So let's go to Deuteronomy 32:47. Spending time in God's word is vital. Vital. It's for your spiritual, natural, mental, and physical. The spirit is more realer than the natural. Everything God spoke in Genesis 1, he spoke forth, okay? And it came forth. Everything you speak, you got to learn to start decreeing the things of God in your life, even when you have a situation. Even when sickness, even if you feel unloved, loneliness, everything is in the word of God that you need. And that's why I learned to sit in his presence. Learning in quiet time. It's another form of in the presence, okay? In Deuteronomy 32:47, they are not just idle words for you. They are life. Amen? The words of God is just not idle words. They are for life, for your life. Let's go to Psalm 42:1-2. That's David. We looked at what Moses said. Now we're looking at David. I don't care what your past is. God can change anything. Okay? God can change it. You can be changed in the presence of the Lord so quickly. You can receive your blessing. You can receive anything in the presence of the Lord. That's another form of being obedient, okay? David is the author. David is the messenger. David said, as a deer panteth for the streams of water, my soul panteth for you. Oh, my God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? And he says, where can I go from the presence of God? This is a different, this is a women reference, and it's a study, okay? Let's go to Joshua. It's another messenger, mighty man of God. Joshua 1:8. We ought to be searching for the living God. That's through the word of God, okay? He's your creator. He's the maker. He's the life giver. Everything you need is in him. Okay, everything was created through him, by him, for him. And we ought to want to give God glory out of our life. Women of God, daughters of a king. I don't care what nobody called you. I'm calling you what God has called you. You are a daughter of a king, a woman of God. Amen. He said, do not let the book of laws depart from your mouth. Meditate day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed. It tells you everything. Meditate day and night. Don't let the book of laws depart from your mouth. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Hallelujah. The living God. Amen. Let's go, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All the scripture is God's breath, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may, or woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? Now, when you look at it, it's the breath. It tells you all the scripture, not some. The breath of God is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, and correcting. And it's training in righteousness. Okay? Your righteousness came through Jesus Christ. So we can be in right standing, so we won't be outstanding. So our righteousness don't come from ourselves. It came through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And then God said, and it's able to equip you with every good work, not bad works. Everything God does is good. Okay? He wants you to have great works because God is with you. The greater one lives and dwells inside you. That's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the greater one that walks with you. You have the King of Kings in you, and what can stop you when you start to learn to sit in the presence of God, to start speaking the things of God, okay? Studying what God is saying. That breath of God, the breath of God is every word. A person said, how you know? It's in the Word of God. He said it. Same breath that's breathing you, animals. I had to bring that up about the animals. I said they have the same breath. How you think they receive life? They come only through the life giver, okay? And then, you know, I was talking to a person. I said many things are going on. People take people's life for no reason, and they don't know that's the breath of God, okay? And, you know, it kind of messed me up even with animals. And I said that's the same breath that God have breathed life into. Okay, let's look at Psalm 63:1. And we got a lot to praise God for. He's telling you who he is. He's telling you what he's doing, what you're created to do, who to give glory to, what are the gifts and talent. Well, he created everything. And a lot of people think they're created. I created this. I did this. No, you did not. God is the only great I am. I'm in Exodus 3:14. He is. And, you know, I want to get into that. That'll be on the next segment. When people run from the presence of God, that'll be the next statement. Okay. And Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in the dry and the weary land where there is no water. David got personal. He said, you are my God. See, we have to make it so personal. That's my God. He loved me, okay? I'm going to seek you. I don't care what nobody else is doing. I know what I have to do. All of us are called to be in the body of Christ. You don't know what that person call is, not desiring what they have, whatever. You don't know. You're the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece, the feet. Being that person in the body of Christ. And a lot of people come at the body of Christ, and that's going to be another segment. You don't know where that person fit in. Well, that's why we have to encourage and build each other up. When you learn to sit in the presence of God, you're going to pray for your brothers and sisters because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. And I tell a lot of people, pray for the pastors, pray for the ones out there. Pray for the land, pray for the nation. We can learn to bind up things through the Word of God when we start sitting in the presence, and God will reveal, pray this, pray that. When you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will quicken you to learn to pray for something that you don't, wouldn't never come out of belief, come out your mouth. Today he had me just sitting in the presence, and he had me rebuking, binding everything and asking everything from the kingdom of God to back me up because it's more of us than them, like he told Elijah. When things are going on in your life, I see what's going on in the land. He don't let me watch news that often, but he have learned me to pray for somebody else. When we pray for other people and take the focus off of, is somebody going through something? Is somebody else, somebody lost loved one, marriage? We can pray for marriage, for reconciliation. We can pray for family. We can pray for our neighbors. We can pray for more love, peace in the land. Not so because you see things, it's already know what we have to pray for. And then, you know, when you write things down, when I sit in the presence of God, I have to write things down. I said, Lord, what do you want me to pray? I don't. And then I can sit here and he'll take me somewhere else, and I know I've never been there in the spirit realm. He'll have me praying for somebody in Africa, over here in the land, water, food, clothing, books, knowledge, wisdom, to bring people to lost souls. It's so much you could be praying for, and that is a privilege to be able to pray to a living God for somebody else. Amen? All right. In Isaiah 40, let's go to Isaiah 48. Now, this is so powerful. All of them is powerful, but it said in Isaiah, the grass wither and flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. Everything else is going to pass away. He gives you in the simplest thing about the grass. The grass, it's gonna die. The flowers going to fade. The petals fall off it. But he said, my word will last forever. Everything else on this earth will be destroyed one day. And he said, but the word of God will still be here. And that's in Isaiah. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's look at Psalm 130 and verse 6. It's a lot. We have a lot. A lot of points to look at. And that's how you can get to understand. That's why you'll know the truth from a lie. You won't be deceived because you have it personal. You learn to sit in the present. There you go, quiet time, God revealing things to you. He's been revelation to you, revealing who he is through the word of God, through others, the ones who have been here and gone home to glory. But he gave everything for us so we can have a whole Bible. We can understand a lot of people that went through this, and we can go through that, but they had a relationship. Learn to sit in their presence, knowing who their master, that means Lord, okay? Knowing who a living God is. Now, Psalm 136, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. More than the watchman waits for the morning. David said, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm not waiting on the watchman. I'm waiting on the Lord. And that's what we got to learn to do is wait. Sometimes we get anxious. That's why God said, pray without supplication. We got to bring our request to God, not to say, don't live in tomorrow, because tomorrow have enough work. You live one day at a time. That's where the presence come again. When you sit there, he's not going to let you jump to tomorrow. I hear people come out, I'm doing this 2 weeks from now, I'm doing this. You don't know when when he's coming. That might be your last day. Might be that person's last day. You can't be in tomorrow. You'll miss out on the blessing of that day. God wants you to live day by day. And it's saying, and this is what God has allowed me to, if it's your will. If I'm here tomorrow, if it's your will, I know I still have assignment to complete because you have not took me home. But I'm still going to wait that and for just one day at a time. I'm not jumping to tomorrow. I told the person, no, I'm not going to get in that because I'm not going to have no anxiety attacks. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to get impatient. I'm not going to run to this and do that because you'll get all focused. And then when it don't happen, then you get upset. That's why he tells you, you live one day at a time. Don't miss out on the blessing of today. And in Psalm 18:46, and it says, this is the day the Lord made. He didn't say go to yesterday. He didn't say go tomorrow. He didn't say go 3 weeks from now. Yeah, we can have goals, whatever your will, God, is that this, let this happen. But live one day at a time, ladies. Amen? All right, spending time daily in prayer. This point two. Okay. And we'll be in Psalm 5 and 3. This is a morning prayer as well. And it tells you when to pray. Not I'm going to pray after I got up and did everything, and then I want to go back and jump to God. God wants to be number one, not number two, not number three. Not talking about I had to talk to so-and-so. I really talk to God first, because when you talk to God and confide in him first or just sit there, he has the best solution. When you talk to everybody else, everybody got opinion. I don't want opinion from this person, that person. I'd rather be and sat with God. What's my assignment for the day, Lord? What's your will, okay? For that day, when you don't put him first and you'll understand a lot of things, Lord, I forgot to pray. This didn't happen. That and it gets you off and off course. But when you're spending time in quietness with God, oh, my God, hallelujah, he's going to prepare you. You won't even get upset that he's going to allow you. Something's going to happen. I had to pray, and I said, Lord, don't let this happen. He'll give you a chance to pray certain things. But when you don't get up in the morning and you go do everything else and something happens, you, some people just start cursing, acting up. I said, my goodness. They said, I said, have you read your Bible? They'll call me. I said, no, don't call me. Yes, I'm a pastor. No, call the master. Don't jump calling me, tell me, I want to tell you. No. Call God first. Call him. He's first. And now some get offended with that, but that's the truth. I am just a creation. I'm not the creator. So we got to understand we have to put the creator where he's rightfully at. He's number one, not number two, and he'll never be. He's never going to come off the throne for your agenda or my agenda. He's going to be number one because he's a jealous God. He wants to get the glory. He wants you to spend time. He wants you to seek him, the things of the kingdom. Amen? So in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. See, it said, he hears your voice. You're going to make your request, and then you're going to wait, okay? Amen? It's vital. Now, let's look at an example of Jesus, okay? Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Okay, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out into a solitary place where he prayed. He didn't just say, "Come on, I want you to go here. I need to call the prayer warriors. I need to do this." He didn't say, "I need to call a disciple." He knew he had to go spend time with the Father and in a solitude place. You know, some people have kids and stuff, but you're going to have to learn to discipline, not whoop hollering. You're going to have to sometimes get up a little early. God will get you up early so you can have time to spend time. If Jesus had the time, and look how many people were coming at Jesus on healing this or what he came through. But look, he had 12 men with him. And he still had time to go see about the Father first. Who knows? Amen? Let's look at a day of battle against the enemy, okay? All right. In Ephesians 6:18. In Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With the mind, be alert and always keeping prayer for all saints. Don't pray just for your associate. With all. He said pray for all. Because they go through things. Back in the day, when Paul, all the disciples were going through things, he said, pray for all the saints. Okay? He wants to pray for all, not some. Okay? Let's look at Daniel 6 and 10. Let's look at Daniel. Prayed. Now, Daniel went through a lot of things as well. Paul, everyone that you serve God, they understood they had to spend time. Okay, Daniel prayed three times a day. He got down on his knees and prayed, gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. Daniel knew where everything came from. He got on his knees. If you can kneel before God, you can stand before anything. I looked at that, and I was telling a person, they said, what you mean? I said, you didn't bow before God. You didn't went before God. That is another form of surrendering, okay, unto God, to let him know you're serious. I'm going to kneel before you, head down, and I'm going to pray. But Daniel prayed three times, and then he thanked God. Amen. He didn't just start it. He always done it. All right, including also music and Thanksgiving. Let's look at music. Okay? I'm going to give you one point on all this. That's Colossians 3:16. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as it teach, admonish one another with all wisdom, as you have singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in heart." That's plain and simple. Let Christ dwell. He wants to be so rich within you. You know, even when you're going through something, teaching you, admonish one another in wisdom and knowledge. That's an encourage. Singing songs unto God. God is a great God. We have so many songs we can sing to God. Either Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. You know, the great I am. It's so many. I can't make it without you, God. No weapon formed against us with Fred Hammond. We can go with any kind of song. And back then, they just had hymns. We have so many spiritual songs that we can sing and to glorify God. And that's another form of encouraging yourself. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Time with God's word gives guidance. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 55:11. Okay. This all be on guidance right here. In Isaiah 55:11, "So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return void to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." You know, when you speak the word of God, every word to you that spoke to God is go up to God, come back to you. He's saying his word will never turn void, but accomplish what he sent out to. When you send out the word, you send it back what the Father has sent. He has given us the living word, the breath of God. Every word you send out your mouth, he said, "I heard you. I heard your prayer." It's going up and coming back, and it will not go void. That's another guarantee. That's a promise. So speak the word of God over your life, over your kids, over any situation, because you're speaking the living word, not dead words. That's another form of covenant, covenant of grace, covenant of mercy, covenant of the word, covenant of the blood. You're speaking life over every situation through the word of God. Let's look at Psalm 119:105. In Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." See, it's a lamp, it's light, illumination, the light of my path. God will open a light, everything you need. But through the word, it's going to guide, lead you where God wants you to be. It's a lamp and a light. That's illuminates the word is to your feet and a light to my path. Amen? God's word will not steer you wrong. That is the truth. Jeremiah 17:18. "He will be like a tree planted by the waters that sends out the root to stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves always green. It has no words in the years of drought and never fails them to bear." Amen. We want you to be like living a tree, strong with the roots through the word of God. That's that living water he wants to give in you. And so we need to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. Amen. Let's go to the last one, Psalm 19:9-11. No, we got one more. Now, this is what reverencing God. Amen. "The fear of the Lord," Psalm 19:9-11, "the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, although righteous. They are more precious than gold, more pure than gold. They are sweeter than honey, than the honey from a comb. By them your servant warned is keeping them that there is great reward." See, the fear of the Lord is pure, it's righteous. It's knowing that he's a holy God. Everything you need. The word of God is more precious than gold. It's sweeter than honey. And you know, if you have a honeycomb, I'm not talking about honeycomb cereal. I'm talking about the sweetness of the word. How sweet is that name, Jesus? Okay? Amen? Psalm 16:8. And we'll go to a break. And if you have minutes for you, if you need to rededicate to the Lord, or you backslid, or you need to repent, And we're going to do an altar call. And Pastor, I would like for you to do an altar call of salvation. If you'd like to call in and whatever you're going through, we can pray with you, whatever. We're here for you as the body of Christ, women of God, daughters of the King. And God is calling you to be strong, ladies. So the last one, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Who's sitting at the right hand? Jesus, the right hand. And ain't nothing to be shaken. Ain't nothing to fear. He's with you. He is not going to leave you or forsaking you. I don't care what's going on. When you learn to be to sin and being still with God, he's going to take care of you. A lot of people say, oh, God ain't, but don't speak anything that nobody else spoke of. You speak with God, and you got to come back the word of God, even when the enemy tries to come, just like Jesus did when he was out in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. He used the word of God. He didn't play with the enemy. We cannot play. It is time to get serious, ladies. Now, we're going to go into a worship, and Pastor will be doing the altar call. And then, Pastor, what time we get off?
Your time will be 10:30.
And the next one, we're going to look at the goodness of God. And we're going to do an altar call. We're going to have a worship and altar call. Ladies, I love you, and Jesus loves you more than anything. Amen?
Hey. Mm-hmm. All
Yeah.
Pastor Wanda.
Hallelujah. We're going to do an altar call for salvation. If you didn't backslid or come back home, the Lord is waiting and he's with open arms. If you want to get back that fresh relationship, turning back to your first love, he's waiting. So, Pastor, will you lead him into a salvation a prayer right now? Pastor?
Yes.
Could you lead him into
salvation?
Are you
ready for me to do the altar call?
Do the altar call.
Okay. If you're out there and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, here's your chance. Okay?
Thank you, Dad.
Just say a simple prayer after me. Okay? Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept out of my life.
Yes.
I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I grant you the salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. All right. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd like to hear from you. Or if this word have ministered to you, you know, you can call in. You know, we all need each other. You know, you're not here alone. He's with you. And God loves you. He really loves you because he wants to create you to go through a lot of things. You're not. He wants you to rely and depend and have faith in him and trust in his word and trust him for who he is. God has divine plan for each and every. That's why he has given us the gospel. Okay, I want to read something. God's plan to release heaven on earth. Okay? We have a lot, but, you know, he gives me so much. It's so profound. Sometimes learning through the presence of God. He wants to restore, he has to live a restoration. He wants to move in your life. He wants the glory. He wants to say, this is my daughter. Or my son, even if a man is listening. God's plan will release heaven on earth. The announcement of near of the kingdom was announced in the coming of the righteous of the kingdom. The righteous would come through the gospel in Romans 1:7. The righteous of the kingdom could not come by law, but through the faith of the Messiah. God's plan was not to place through worldly things, meat and drink. His plan is for a spiritual kingdom once Many miss the kingdom and the righteousness that come through faith in the gospel. Today, many people, including Christians, are still not seeing God's plan fulfilled because they are looking for God's spiritual kingdom. We must strengthen our faith in God's power and usher in the kingdom and pray diligent for his plan to unfold. The prophet spoke of the coming of the righteous of the kingdom. The kingdom is connected to the gospel in Isaiah 52:7. The righteous God will come in Israel and the nation through the gospel. Men of Israel missed the kingdom because they did not obey the gospel in Romans 10-15. They did not submit to the gospel. They did not submit to the righteous of God. They became enemy of the gospel and therefore enemy of the kingdom in Romans 11:28 and 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16. Today we must pray earnest for the righteous to come in our homes, our community, our nation, and the world. We must pray that the world rapid disobedience to the plan and the will of God will cease. We must pray for people to turn in obedience to God. Pray for the righteousness. God will come to nations of this world and to the home of people throughout this world. We learn in Isaiah 32:17, the works of righteous will demonstrate of peace, shalom, and the work of righteous will demonstrate quietly and confidence. As we pray in the quietness and the confidence of this happening today, our prayers will include the characteristics of God's plan. The righteous of God will be revealed in Isaiah 56:1. The saints will be called tree of righteousness in Isaiah 61:3. The righteous and praise will sing forth among nations, Isaiah 61:11. The Messiah will bring an everlasting righteous, Daniel 9:24. The new man, new believer, will be created in righteousness in Ephesians 4:24. The new covenant will administrate righteousness in 2 Corinthians 3:19. The scepter of the kingdom be the righteous, Habakkuk 1:8, Hebrews 1:8. The righteous will flourish in the days of the Messiah of the kingdom, Psalms 72:7. How marvelous it will be when the plan of God for his kingdom can permeate every corner of this world. The Bible tells us the right plan in the land in Isaiah 60:21. Can you imagine the time America has so many righteous believers planted throughout the region that our entire nation is known in today's world as a righteous land? Unfortunately, today America is recognized through the world as a nation that is straying away from the righteous foundation. Instead of the righteous field our street, we are rebelling against God, the wickedness and sin that are terrifying the people of America. If the people of America and the nation are to be recognized as a plant of the Lord, we must pray for God to have mercy on rebellious and sinful and call to repentance. America must turn back to a godly foundation upon which it is breached, it is birthed. As you read through the prayers diligent for the plan of God to fulfill in America and throughout the world, so the plan of God and the kingdom of God can be established. We become a planted by the Lord only we place our faith and trust in the gospel, Isaiah 61:1-3. As earthly kingdom required as the earthly land, but a spiritual kingdom does not. We must recognize that we are to pray for a spiritual kingdom. The Bible tells us as Abraham was looking for earthly land, but a heavenly country. In Hebrews 11:14-6, we must be seeking a heavenly America today. It is a plan of God to fill the world with righteousness. The Old Testament is filled with righteousness in reference to the righteous of the kingdom. We are made through the righteous of God through Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ is our righteousness in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Israel could not attain righteousness through the law. Righteousness comes through faith and a new covenant. We are now living in the kingdom and a new covenant. Amen. As we pray, thank God that he has fulfilled the plan through Christ, his son, including the following. God is calling us to come back into the right in the righteousness of God. I don't care who the president, I know who Jesus is. I don't care what's going on in the land, but I know what God has said. Now, I'm going to go to Psalms 22:29-31. I know I have given you a lot of word, but you know, it's to go back over it and study. Lord, we pray that Almighty One come upon earth, so shall it be declared his righteousness to all people yet to be born, that he have done, that is finished in Psalm 22, verse 29 and 31. I've been Isaiah 40:9-10. Lord, may I be able to say I have proclaimed good tidings of righteousness in a great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Psalm 15:6. Lord, let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is the judge. Lord, my mouth shall tell the righteous and the salvation all day long, for I do not know their limits. I will go to in strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness. So see, we want others to have the same thing we have, the righteousness of God, through Jesus Christ. And that's Psalm 71:15. And then Psalm 69:19-27-29. Lord, my adversaries are all before you, fully known to you, that all unforgiveness, perverseness, and inequity come accumulated upon another for them in your book. And let them not come into the righteous or be justified or acquitted by you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and the book of life and not enroll among the uncompromised righteous, those upright and right standing with God. These are amplifiers. That's what I'm reading out of Amplified Bible right now. Lord, my prayers will continue to rise to you until the nation reflect your words, which promise love, faithful, meet together, righteous, peace, kiss each other, faithfulness springs forth this earth, and the righteous look down from heaven. Righteous goes before him and prepares the way of his steps. In Psalm 85:10-11. Ladies, I love you. And Pastor, just play some worship. God is calling us to come back righteous and standing right standing with God and learn to sit in the presence. And ladies, pray. Have faith in God. Sound the promise. Seek his face. Abide in him. Call upon his name. Tell of what he have done for you, you know, and when you get strong enough, yeah, give the telephone. This is what God have done. Amen. He have given salvation for all to have, the Jews and the Greek. You have a blessed and a prosperous night, ladies, that God's keep his right, his righteous right hand. Our Father God, I cover the land right now. I cover every person that's going through anything. And you can do it in an instant, Father. You are our everything. You are the I am. We thank God for Jesus. We cover everybody with the blood of the Lamb and word of testimony. Thank Pastor Ives for healing, delivering, restoration, what I call resurrection. Let souls be won through the word of God. Let people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let them have a relationship. And Father God, as this pandemic, I bind everything up in the mighty name of Jesus and call forth the fire of God to burn all this out of the land right now, Father God. But let us turn from our wicked ways. Call upon your name, and you will heal the land. And we thank you, and Father, fight every battle in the mighty name of Jesus Nazareth, and we call forth everything from the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Wanda. That was a blessed sermon. Okay.
I hope
everybody got a lot out of that. Okay.
Yes, a lot. I don't know what to do. He tells me. Okay. Don't know nothing. Just yielding to what he have called me. So we were looking for breakthrough miracles, and God can do it. Through the word of God, he can do anything. We'll just have to come into be obedient. Amen.
Amen.
We want them to have the things that God have given us. The life that he have given us, the great life. It's not no, everybody think coming to Christ is a hunky-dory to have fun and all that. No, you have to take it serious. You have to take it serious because it was a high cost for each and every one of us to have these calling, these gifts, and it's only through Jesus Christ. One man died on the cross so all of us can live and to call upon, you know, to know who he is, to pray, to worship, and to reverence a living God, to exalt, bless his name. If we bless his name and cursing somebody else, how can we, that shouldn't happen, to love on and to show and be that light that God have called us to do. Amen.
Amen.
Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Amen.
All righty. Well.
All right. You got the calls?
Well, we've got 90 seconds left, so I'm going to say we're going to have another show tomorrow night.
Amen.
Okay. It's going to be Purpose Gospel Radio. I hope you sit there and tune in to listen. Okay. And I hope Pastor Wanda joins us tomorrow night if she can.
I'm trusting God that He allows me, because you know He'll have me up tonight praying for the land, praying for a lot of things. And, you know, whatever the Lord's will, I'm gonna stay on. I'm gonna stay what I said one day at a time. If it's His will, I'll be on there. Okay, and I will.
Okay,
call you,
amen.
Pastor. And Pastor,
okay,
listen,
well, God bless
lady,
everybody. Okay,
Pastor,
see you
tomorrow night. I need to ask something.
What's
Pastor,
that?
All right, ladies, or anybody would like to donate Bibles, anything. Pastor has a P.O. box that you can send anything to support this ministry. It's not about money. It's about if God have blessed you to be able to bless the others so we can pass out Bibles, do the things that God have called. And we don't work for money. We're not asking you to give out your pocket to us. God takes care of us, but it's others that we need to help in Jesus' name. And if that could, we will surely appreciate it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, God bless everybody. Have a blessed night. See you tomorrow.
Amen. See you tomorrow. In Jesus' name, God bless. Call me when you get off the air, Pastor.
Okay.
All right. Love you, ladies. See you next week. In Jesus' name.